Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not listening to this podcast, be sure to check out one of our others, like this one, The Grave Talks. Every week, I talk with individuals who've been affected quite intimately and personally by the supernatural. We hear their stories one-on-one in our conversations. In fact, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's two new episodes of The Grave Talks. And if you like it, just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe. Today on The Grave Talks, Dealing with the Dead, a conversation with Wes Forsythe. Wes Forsythe grew up discovering that he had tapped into an ability within himself to sense and see things that he physically otherwise could not, places, people that he never met. He would hold back on examining these abilities until later in life. It all started out watching too much paranormal TV, which led him to do investigations. This drove him into looking into psychic sides of the field. He'd soon find himself as a light worker and tarot reader. Today we hear his stories on The Grave Talks.
My interest, I mean, it started at childhood. I was a kid that read the really geeky books about Bigfoot and UFOs and ghosts and all this, the stuff that was available when I was a kid, which was basically whatever was sold at the book fair.
Sure.
But I had a few what I would call paranormal experience, but just kind of cool stuff to tell stories about, nothing that, you know, was earth shattering. And then finally, I watched a lot of paranormal TV when it all became in the vogue. And I finally decided to get out of my armchair one time and take someone up on an opportunity to actually go ghost hunting in a real purported haunted location. And that's what really kicked in the passion.
Being out there and seeing it firsthand. What were some of those that you kind of brushed over? They were little, you know, things in childhood that you thought were paranormal. What were some of those things?
Well, it was mostly my teenage and early adult years, but I used to have basically very, very vivid dreams about places and or people. And I could usually tell if there was something special about it because the dream would repeat itself. It might change a little, but the overall theme and especially the location would stay the same. And occasionally I would have the opportunity to meet the person or talk to them that I haven't seen in 20 years or whatever, and ask them about it, and come to find out my dreams were freakishly accurate. One of the ones that stands out in my mind was I had a dream about going in someone's house while they were building it, and I actually got to watch how the house kind of came together. In other words, the order it came together.
Yeah.
And what stuck out to me was the kitchen, which was open platform. And then the upstairs, I'm downstairs and there is painting walls and stuff like that, but the upstairs was fully finished. Well, about a year after I had this dream several times, I actually met these people for the first time in my life. I was a salesman and I was in their house, and the house looked so familiar. And finally it occurred to me where I knew the house from. And so after I found out I wasn't getting the sale, excuse me, I started asking them and said, okay, you're going to think this is really, really strange. And went on and described to them how they built their house, the order they built it. Not only that, but yes, they did in fact finish the upstairs first so that they could move in and finish the lower level at a leisurely pace.
And were they like, okay, you're still not getting the sale. You've just creeped us out.
Yeah, that was pretty much, yeah. No, I did not get the sale. No, it did not. It was one of those conversations. I'm not even sure that they took me seriously.
Sure.
Except that there were things that I knew. So I who knows, they may have thought I was a stalker or something. I really don't know. Because I never met them again. Ooh. But it was something that really stood out in my mind.
What was the significance of it when you look back kind of retrospectively? I mean, to have the dream, like you knew this information about these people's home and the history of what happened. I mean, why did you have that dream? Was there some sort of connection or some sort of thing that happened there that you can like lay, you know, your finger on and go, oh, okay.
Honestly, no, other than I do think that I've moved into the metaphysical side of the paranormal world, that I think that that was my spirit guide's way of keeping my interest piqued.
Okay.
So that I didn't just brush it all off. I think they wanted to remind me every now and then that there were things going on. And even though I wasn't in touch with them or talking to them, they were there and somebody was trying to get a message to me.
Yeah. Just like showing you, you know, this may not have much of a significance or a message attached to it, but look what you can do, kind of a thing.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the way I always looked back at it. Because when I actually entered the paranormal world as just, once again, moved from armchair investigator to real world ghost hunter, I really, people would ask me about, you know, well, are you psychic? And my answer was always, no, not at all. Mm-hmm. And then things kind of progressed from there into people saying, yeah, you are, you really are, dude. But that, I think that was just, once again, just wanting to keep my interest piqued enough that I would pursue the field that I ended up in.
Yeah. How interesting. Did you have any other, I mean, when you had that experience, was it confirmation to you that you had some sort of ability? How did you process that when you walked out of that house and started driving, you know, back home or whatever?
I really did. I took it as a confirmation that I would say that I didn't take it as a confirmation that I had any great unique gift. I took it more as a confirmation that, an interpretation that we probably all have this gift, mm-hmm. but for some reason, I'm the one that noticed it.
Yeah, you kind of tapped into it.
I'd never really thought that I was that special in that regard. Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of, I paid attention to it. And I noticed it. And then that gave me something to kind of lean on when people started telling me, hey, you should really pursue that.
Does something like that improve with time, improve with essentially tapping into it, using it, being aware that you have this ability or this sense?
The only thing I've noticed is that I pay more attention to my dreams and My we'll call them best dreams, my most vivid dreams, tend to have something in them that I'm supposed to know. Mm-hmm. Something that's going to help me in either a life event or a paranormal event, type situation. So when I a lot of times I tell my psychic friends that anytime I'm having these, I feel like I'm in boot camp now because I feel like it's school for me. It's something I'm supposed to be learning from that vivid experience.
What were some of the other dreams that you had early on, vivid experiences that really, you know, kind of kept you going beyond that one, which is obviously fairly powerful?
Well, the earliest one I remember like that was, I don't know, it happened a few years before that because I was a teenager, and I do remember I dreamt. Now, I lived and still live in a rural area. Farming is big, and back then tobacco farming was big. And I had, now this was a friend. I'd never been to his house. I'd never been on his farm, but I did dream about this person and his family. But I dreamt about his house, his yard, And what made it interesting is I dreamt about his farm. And when I say that, it wasn't so much the lay of the farm, it's the order and the location of certain fields when they were harvested that fall. Now, I had no connection to the guy at the time. Might have met him in passing, but we weren't close friends. But for some reason, in the dream, I was looking for him, I think, in the dream. And I went to one field and he wasn't there. And they said, go up there, you know. So I was able, when I finally did see him, I met him at a restaurant one night. And it occurred to me that I'd had that dream. And so I went through it with him and I described his house. I described his yard. I described his farm. And I described the people that worked for them in tobacco that year. The one that stood out was his grandfather. And he was kind of blowing it off until I described the order they cut their tobacco patches. Back then, all the patches were very relatively small. And so when you would go up a holler, you know, they would be cut in a certain order. And then I said, and the one patch is, you got to it from the, you know, going by, I just went over the hill. He said, no, you can't do that. He said, you can't drive down through there. I said, I didn't drive. I walked. And sure enough, there is a footpath that they regularly use from the house to the last patch they cut. And it kind of freaked him out. But that was one of the earlier ones that was extremely accurate and extremely vivid. And just over the years, I've dreamt about people's houses that I've not been. Now, lately, though, those type of dreams tend to do more with the location. And sometimes I think there's an overreaching or overarching theme of it. But sometimes I think there's just something I'm supposed to know about that location, even though I haven't went to it yet. And so there's a lot of them on hold, but they're in the back of my mind. And one of these days I'll be on some public ghost hunt probably and say, oh, wow, this was that place.
Why do you think you're getting, you know, information on these places, and what are you supposed to do with it?
Now, that is a really good question, and I do not know the answer overall. Once again, I think sometimes, okay, I have developed into what I would call a light worker.
Mm-hmm.
So I think these are just things that are meant to keep that part of my, as the cliche is, the third eye. In other words, it might just be because I don't use my psychic abilities all that often. It might just be an exercise that I'm put through to keep that part of my brain functioning, to keep me on track. In other cases, as a light worker, I do go in sometimes and help people with paranormal problems. And many of my dreams have not been related to the case I'm going on in, you know, I don't dream about the house before I get there, in other words.
Okay.
But there will be a lesson in a dream that sticks out of my mind that applies to an upcoming case. One in particular that comes to mind, I was going to a young lady, her son, we'd been to help her once before at another location. Her son was very young and he was seeing little boy spirits and all this stuff. Well, later on, she had moved and she said, it's not the same thing, but he's having these experiences again. We all are. And so I'd already set up the appointment, but then I had a dream that something in the dream, it was something very, very evil. Now, I could not do anything to it, but I could hide from it. And I could hide the people. So when I got there to work with it, rather than do the normal house cleansing and everything that is associated with the type of work that I do, I said, you know what? Let's hide the house.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.